Can I keep y'all to at least 1:15?
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
Amen. How about 2 o'clock? Pastor Christy. Grab your Bibles with me. Hold them up in the air. Say, this is my Bible.
My Bible is
God's Word. And God's Word is devil destruction power. This is my Bible. And my Bible is
God's Word.
And my Bible, with my Bible, I can defeat the devil.
Every time.
This is the will of God for my life. Whatever says I am, that's what I am. Whatever says I can do, that's what I can do. Whatever it says I have, I claim it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can hear me without this mic, right? We're gonna deviate just this week from our regular series. You know, we've been teaching on the subject, the Word of God, the primary revelation of God's will. We've been teaching on that subject for several weeks, and we still got a lot more to deal with on that subject. But as I was talking with Pastor Christy yesterday, and we were talking about the event of Ann and Constantino renewing their vows, Pastor Christy thought it might be a good idea for me to talk to y'all a little bit about marriage today. And, you know, I was still, you know, wondering, you know, tossing back and forth on it because I thought, well, you know, I want to try to finish my series, get this done, then I can deal with all this other stuff. And so then I went and talked to my wife. I said, you know, honey, hoping she'd be on my side. I said, Pastor Christy said I should talk about marriage tomorrow. She said, I think that's a good idea. You know, so I said, you know, maybe I need to call Elise. but anyway, we're gonna deal with marriage a little bit today, deviating from our series, and we'll get back to our series next week. But still, this is kind of within the series because it is God's will that you have a happy and successful marriage. Amen.
Amen.
But the subject title I'm gonna deal with today is called How to Issue Divorce a Crushing Defeat. How to issue divorce a crushing defeat. I got 10 things, and we're going to go through them real quick. I'm not going to give you the scriptures on each 10 of these, all right? But we're going to go through them real quick. We're going to deal with them. And I'll get more in depth with these later on down the road. Hopefully this year we're going to be talking about marriage, raising children, things like that. And I'll get more in depth with these things later on down the road. But today we're just going to kind of go bam, 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 get this. So if you're taking notes, please write down these principles. They're going to help you. Now, some of you sitting here saying, well, I ain't married. One day you're going to be married. You need to hear this. Single people say, I need to hear this. Say, I need to hear this. Now, if you're not planning on getting married, if you have the call that the Apostle Paul had where he was living celibate for all of his life, you know, praise God for you. Now, Pastor Troy just ain't got that call. God knew that Pastor Troy, it was not good for Pastor Troy to be alone. So he sent him a wife. Amen. Can I get a witness, Pastor Christy Marvin?
Amen.
Can I get a witness, Brother Tino?
Amen.
Amen. some of us know we need wives. And so, since God has sent us a good wife, the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. We want to keep that good thing. Amen?
Amen.
And so we need to learn how to do it. We need to learn how to do it based on God's word. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 2. Teenagers, you need to listen to this. Because you ain't going to be single all your life. Now, what I want you teenagers to do is to go to college first. Don't think about marrying until you finish college. Teenagers. I know you may be in love with him. He puts that sparkle in your eye. Whenever you see him, you just float on air. I mean, I know you love him. but don't even think about it. Listen to what we have to teach you today. Malachi chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. It says, "And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore?" Why? Why? In other words, they were asking, God, why aren't you receiving our offering? Why aren't you receiving what we have for you? Why? And so then the Lord happily answers them. He said, "Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, and the wife of thy covenant." Say, "wife of thy covenant."
Wife of thy covenant.
That's why we had them take communion. They took a, they acknowledged a covenant that was made between them. That's an unbreakable thing. Say, covenant.
Covenant.
Verse 15, "And did not he make one?" When a husband and wife, when they come together, they become one. Say, one.
One.
"The two shall become one. Yet had he the residual of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed." The reason why two Christians, let me say this, single people, you marry somebody, make sure he's a
Christian.
Wow. You're going to have problems. You're talking about, you say, "Oh, I can change him. I'll get him saved." Don't be stupid. Many times, I've seen it happen too many times. Sometimes these guys, they come up, just because they like you, they like your beautiful face and your nice body, they come up to the altar and call themselves getting saved just so they can have you. And then as soon as y'all get married, they don't even want to go to church no more. They don't want you going either. Oh, I'm deviating from the message, but glory to God. You need to hear it. "That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away," or he hates divorce. "For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously." God hates divorce because divorce is an unlawful breaking of a covenant. And God thinks of it as violence and treachery. If God hates divorce, then we should hate divorce, because we, as God's people, are to hate what God hates. Praise God. Now, if you are here and you've already been divorced, don't worry about it. God forgives you. Divorce is not the unforgivable sin. Amen? God is also a God of second chances. If you're here, you divorce, you remarry, praise God. Make it right the second time. Amen? But those of us who are married and have not yet divorced, let's see how we can stop it from ever coming to pass. We want to defeat divorce. Amen?
Amen?
We want to issue divorce a crushing defeat. So the first thing we want to learn is divorce is defeated by making God and his word the center of your marriage. Divorce is first defeated by making God and his word the center of your marriage. In other words, don't ever ignore God's word for your own personal views or the world's views on marriage. Praise God. Don't listen to, I don't watch Oprah. I've watched Dr. Phil a few times, but I don't, sometimes it, Phil has good advice. I don't know, but I'm telling you this right now. Before you listen to Phil, Oprah, Montel, whoever, you listen to what the Word of God has to say. Praise God.
Amen.
Forget about all that foolishness and all that pop psychology. You need the Word of God. The Word of God is what's going to help you get your marriage taken care of. Don't allow all these so-called experts and all their books and all their PhDs and all that foolishness to enter into your marriage. Some of these guys with their PhDs are the very ones that always advise people on divorce. Well, it sounds like y'all ain't gonna make it. You need to get a divorce. You went to 8 years of school just to tell me that? Come on. You need to make the Word of God the centerpiece of your marriage. Make God Himself the centerpiece of your marriage. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in your marriage. Let the Holy Spirit tell you how to deal with your husband, how to deal with your wife. Praise God. I'm telling you, me and this lady would not have made it. We would not have made it if God was not the center of our marriage. I'm telling you, she and I were from two widely diverse cultures. Mm-hmm. She from Japan, I'm from the ghetto. I'm from the hood. She grew up as an only child, I grew up as a middle child. She grew up as a spoiled brat, I grew up getting my butt beat. So we had diverse variety cultural aspects and background and everything. And so we came into the marriage with different ideas on a lot of things. And I tell you, if it wasn't for a God, I don't know where she and I would be today. So God was the centerpiece of our marriage. We've been married almost 25 years. I plan on making it forever. Glory to God. Death will do this marriage part, not divorce.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Now, you know, some of y'all some fine looking women in here. There's some fine looking women, but you know what? To me, y'all can't compare to this one. There's nothing that could ever take this woman away from me. Because God, first of all, I fear God. I fear God. I fear Him. I love Him and I fear Him. I reverence Him. And that's why I love my wife. Amen?
Amen.
Second thing, divorce is defeated by understanding the power of covenant. Divorce is defeated by understanding the power of covenant. A covenant is an unbreakable agreement between two or more people. Only death should be able to annul the covenant. You see, if people truly understood blood covenant, they truly understood what it means to have a covenant with somebody, they wouldn't be so easy to run to the divorce court. Well, I just don't like you anymore. We just seem to be incompatible. I think we need a divorce. That's stupid! You were incompatible when you first met. That's what made you love each other. Oh, he's so different. Now it's like, so different. Notice the difference? I mean, forget that foolishness about incompatibility. Forget that foolishness about I don't like the way he chews his food. I don't like the fact that he squeezed the toothpaste in the middle of the tube. I mean, after 25 years, me and my wife still do things that annoy each other. Oh my goodness, we annoy each other. And we let each other know it too. But that is just nothing. The thing about divorce over annoyance don't even come into the thinking. Don't even come into play. But the fact that I've seen so many people get divorced over some of the stupidest stuff in the world. We just don't seem to share the same things anymore. The same likes and dislikes. So what? That's what makes marriage wonderful. Sometimes you learn something new. Glory to God. A covenant is something that binds people together. You've heard me say it before many times when we talked about communion. You know, in the African tribes, and Pastor Christick and Ronell even talked about it one time in Bible study, how some of these guys, when they make a covenant, they prick the finger or the hand or something, and they mix the blood together, or they both drink it out of the cup, like what you saw here. That means that they have become intertwined. They share the same things. Everything becomes once the two tribes, the two people make a covenant, nothing the other has does not belong to them alone anymore. It both belongs to both parties. Amen? That's why Jesus said, all that I have is thine. All the wealth of God belongs to you because of the covenant that God has made with you and us, with his son Jesus, for us. And that's why God will bless you as you obey your part of the covenant by obeying him. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing with a marriage. You know, me and my wife, sometimes my wife jokes with me, and it's just a joke. She says, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. In some ways, that might be true, but the fact is that when I married her, we entered into covenant. See, I was in the military when I got married to her. And you know what? She got all the same military benefits that I got and didn't have to work for a daggone thing like I did. I went through all that basic training, all that screaming and getting holiday, and all the stress and pressure that they put on me. I earned my benefits. But this woman, she just says, I do, and all of a sudden she gets a military card, gets to get on base anytime she wants, gets to go to the BX, the shop that, use free medical, free dental. I tell you, just something that's not fair about that. And not only that, I mean, as soon as she got married, she took over the paycheck. All right, honey, from now on, I'll be doing the finances because you lousy at it. But that's part of covenant, glory to God. Everything that I got when we got married belonged to her. I mean, both of us. Amen. Third thing. Divorce is defeated by walking consistently in the agape or agape, God kind of love toward one another. This is very important. See, the God kind of love is not based on physical attraction. It has nothing to do with it at all. See, yeah, when you first got married, it was physical attraction. You know, you saw each other and you said, oh, he is so fine. And, you know, you guys looked at her and said, oh, she's a baby. She's on. She's a fox. You know, you got married. About 10 years later, she turned from a fox to an elephant. That six-pack turned into a 12-pack beach ball. He looks more pregnant than you were. But you know what? None of that matters. Now, yes, you should have physical exercise. You should work out and try to look attractive to each other. But attraction or lack thereof has nothing whatsoever to do with the true God kind of love. Earlier, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we saw that love has nothing to do with physical attraction or what a person can do for the other person. True God kind of love is based on not emotion, not feeling, but it's based on the fact that I have decided I'm going to love you no matter what. Amen?
Amen.
So, agape, God kind of love, is vitally important in order to be able to issue divorce a crushing defeat. Divorce is defeated by practicing forgiveness. That's number four. Divorce is defeated by practicing forgiveness. Oh, that may be the hardest thing to do. Because I know when my wife, many times, my wife has made me mad and I just wanted to clock her. You know, I wanted to hit her, bam, and let her head go all the way around the world, and then reattach itself to her body, and then I take my other head fist and go bam, and let it go all the way around the world again. I wanted to do that, but you know what? I've learned forgiveness. She had to learn a lot of forgiveness too, because we both did things to irritate each other. We both did things selfishly. You know, especially when we both got married, we were very, very young. We were almost babies. We were both 21 years old. Man, I ain't know nothing about marriage, raising a family. I was from a divorced household. I didn't know how to treat my wife. Our marriage was a learn as you go.
Yep.
Thank God that God was in the marriage, and we had to learn to forgive each other for the stupid stuff we were doing to each other.
Yep.
Glory to God. Thank God for godly men and women who taught us better, too.
Amen.
Divorce is defeated by not gossiping about one another to family, friends, and co-workers. Let me say one more thing about the fourth, two more things about the fourth point before we go on to that fifth point. First of all, learn to say I'm sorry to each other. Always learn to say, let those words, don't get in pride, let those words come out of your mouth. Say, I'm sorry. Say, practice it with me. Say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Well, I have to learn those words a lot now. The other thing is, don't bring up the past. If you've forgiven it, let it go. I mean, me and my wife sometimes used to like to do that. Well, you remember what you did? I thought you forgave me. Well, yeah, but now you're doing it again. We have to learn to stop that. Every day is a new day with us now. Praise God. Now, me and my wife have not reached the flawless perfection of marriage yet, but we way better than we used to be. I'm telling you. I'm in love with my wife. I love my wife so much. Amen. Divorce is defeated by not gossiping about one another to family, friends, and co-workers. In other words, stop going to work talking about, girl, you know what he did last night. Oh, he did it again. Oh, every time your wife messes up, mommy, she didn't cook for me today. You mama's boy. You need to be smacked. And then horse whipped. Naked. All right. So make your spouse your ally. Make your spouse your best friend. The Bible says that man shall leave his mother and father and shall cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. My wife takes priority even over my mom. I love my mama. I've always loved my mama because she's my baby girl. But my wife takes priority even over my mom. Amen?
Amen.
Nobody at work gets to gossip about my wife. Nobody anywhere. If you mess with my wife, you come through me first. Mm-hmm. Amen? You don't get to talk about my wife, so I'm not going to talk about my wife to you. Amen? Me and my wife, we can deal with our problems. If we have too many problems, then we go to a third source, a godly counselor. You know, if you got problems with your husband or wife, you come to me or one of the other leaders here. But you don't go to other church members gossiping about your husband or your wife. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, that stuff, it'll come back to you. Soon as your friend, family member, co-worker, whatever gets mad at you, they're going to call your husband up. You know what she's been saying about you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. So you need to watch that. Divorce. Are y'all getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Good. Divorce is defeated by ensuring no name calling or intentional insulting is done during intense moments of fellowship. You know what I mean by intense moments of fellowship?
Oh, yeah.
When you're getting mad at each other. Yes, Sister Papa and I still have our intense moments of fellowship. Yeah, we do. We do have a crossword with each other every so often. We see, me and her, we don't raise our voices. We do it the other way. We just don't even talk to each other. Just ignore each other. I make my little bed on the couch. But one thing we don't do, we don't go around calling each other stupid and idiot and I can't stand you, you stink, and all this other stuff. You know, she don't go around calling me you monkey or anything like that. No, we may have our disagreements and our intense discussions, but we've learned not to put each other down. On the contrary, we try to say good things about each other, amen? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean we don't point out each other's faults, but we do try to build each other up. Husbands and wives should learn to build each other up. Yes, bring criticism, but with the criticism, also bring a compliment. Don't just beat the person down, beat the person down, beat the person down. Bring the criticism, but along with that, remember their good points. My wife is one of the best cooks I know. And you know something else? She loves me. This woman will take care of me. Now, the only problem with her cooking is sometimes when I'm coming home, especially after I fasted all day, she don't have dinner ready yet. But she's a good cook. So I have to remember, you know, when I get mad about the food not being there, I have to remember to say, okay, you're a good cook. Just have it ready when I'm home. I'm hungry. All right. So, turn with me to Proverbs 31:28. I want you to see this one real quick. Are y'all getting blessed? We're getting through. We're getting through. We got a couple more of these. Proverbs 31:28. Like I said, later on down the road, we'll teach all this in more detail, because there's a lot we could add to all of this. Proverbs 31:28. It says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her." So the husbands need to learn to have more praise. Wives need to have more praise for their husbands. Spouses should have more praise for each other. No name calling. Don't call each other names. Stop calling each other dummy, idiot, stupid. Build each other up. Even when you're having your disagreements, which you're going to have, anybody who says they have a marriage for any more than a year and ain't had no disagreement, we need to bow down and worship you. As I tell you. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 28. Well, let's move along. Divorce is defeated by ensuring... there are no children here, right? Okay, good. Divorce is defeated by ensuring that intimacy and physical and emotional needs are met on a regular basis. Yes. You can write down 1 Corinthians chapter 7 for that. Whether you like it or not, this is a very important part of marriage. Mm-hmm. Intimacy, physical and emotional needs are a very important part of marriage. I can spend a lot of time on this one right here, but I won't. Then, you've got to meet your wife's emotional needs. Ladies, us men are pretty much physical.
Yes.
You know, we get aroused very quickly and very easily. Y'all just come over and, you know, sometimes my wife just wants a hug. And I get her, and the next thing I want to do is throw her in the bed. That's just the truth. That's the way most of us men are, you know. And sometimes my wife says, "Honey, can't you just hug me?" So I've learned to meet her emotional needs. Sometimes she wants to just talk. Now, I don't know why you women always want to talk all the time. That's great. But women like to talk. So men, you've got to understand, if you want your wife to meet your physical needs willingly, you have to meet her emotional needs. Amen?
Amen.
Those of you men who are about to get married, remember that. You know, I mean, yeah, y'all might get married in the first couple of weeks or months, whatever, you're going to have a wild ride. But after a while, that stuff is old. She wants a little bit more than just, you know, that kind of thing. So you got to meet her emotional needs. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. Divorce is defeated by ensuring that sound financial management is practiced in the home, which both spouses can agree on. You both need to practice sound financial management. You need to don't go out buying stuff that the other spouse don't know about. Look, honey, surprise, a $2,000 TV. Don't go buying, getting credit cards and stuff like that. You know, I was listening to Dave Ramsey. He's a born-again Christian. He's on Fox News, and he does financial management. And one of the things he said was money is the number one cause of divorce, at least here in America. So you need to make sure that you manage money properly. Both of you can agree on it. See, like I told you before, my wife is the best financial manager between the two of us. She knows how to do the books and stuff. She used to be a bookkeeper with her father in his business. So she knows what she's doing. I let her handle the finances. She gives me an allowance. I go and sneak off and buy something every once in a while. She gets on my case. But she's the primary financial manager. But for the most part, we agree on what we're going to do, and that's kept our marriage well. But I do notice that some of our biggest arguments had in the past were over money. So now I just learned not to argue with it. I think this is what we're going to spend. Well, whatever. Just don't tell me. All right. Divorce is defeated by never, ever threatening or even joking about divorce with one another. Don't even bring up the word. It's not a joke. You know, we ought to get a divorce. No, don't even joke about it. I think my wife did it one time. She made a joke about, she said something about divorce, and I told her don't ever mention that word. Don't ever joke about it. Divorce, no matter how strong me and my wife have disagreed, we have never even contemplated or brought up the word divorce in any disagreement we've had. I mean, I have been intensely mad at my wife to the point where I wanted to go and move somewhere else. But I never, ever wanted to divorce. I figured I'd just move somewhere else until I calm down, and then I'll come back. But I've never thought about divorcing her, never thought about going to marry somebody else. Proverbs 18, chapter 18, verse 21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
Don't ever plant that seed of divorce. Take it out of your dictionary. One couple, one time, they were arguing, and she said, we have to get a divorce. And she said she don't know why she said that word, but then it became easier every time they started arguing, and soon they were in the divorce court. And she said later on, she said she regret that initial day that she ever brought that up. She said, that see, once the seed is planted, then Satan will water that thing, and he destroys your marriage. Words have power.
Yes, they do.
They can destroy, and they can bring life. Don't ever use the word divorce. The last thing. Divorce is defeated by recognizing the true source of division in your home and casting him out. As Ann said, it's the devil. Say the devil.
The devil.
I hate him. I hate him with passion. But see, y'all got to learn to recognize there are spiritual forces in this world. There are spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavens. And they are out to destroy you, destroy your witness, and destroy your marriage. If you don't learn to take authority and recognize that God has given you authority over the devil, and when division and strife comes up in your home, to learn to deal with satanic forces, then he will destroy your marriage. I got a series back there called Satan's Attacks on Your Home, in which I deal with that in more detail. Some of you really need to listen to that before you get married and after you get married. Satan will try to attack your home and destroy your home. You need to learn to take authority in your home. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I remember there was a time when me and my wife, we were like, around the time when we first started this ministry, Satan really began attacking that home. And I mean, it was really hard. It was hard to live with each other. But then we both recognized what was going on, and we dealt with it. We commanded the devil to get out. And he went packing, and he ran to your house. Anyway, we got him out of there, and my wife and I are blessed. Praise God. Now, he tries to sneak back in there every once in a while, but we recognize the devil for who he is. So if you want to defeat divorce, you really got to deal with the true source behind the dissension and division. Don't always think that every time your wife or your husband says the wrong thing to you, recognize that sometimes we all of us can yield to the enemy. Sometimes the enemy whispers in my ear. As spiritual as I am, every once in a while I fall prey to that just like you do. And I say the wrong thing. But thank God that we both learn to recognize when it's the enemy trying to use the other spouse. Praise God.
Amen.
And we've learned to deal with not with the spouse, but the enemy behind the spouse. Praise God.
Amen.
Sometimes before you and your wife or your husband can ever come into an agreement, you might have to go into warfare, praying together, and dealing with the enemy in your house. Commanding him to leave in Jesus' name. And then once the house is devil free, then you're able to deal with the enemy who's tried to sneak in there. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, you can write those down. It talks about how if two shall agree as touching concerning anything on earth, it shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, you can write that one down. It talks about how the husband is to dwell with his wife so that, and they are to love each other so that their prayers will not be hindered. Satan wants to hinder your prayers. And that's why he will cause division in the house. Because he knows that a husband and wife that are praying will get prayers answered. And if we don't, and if he can cause division and dissension and unforgiveness, then he can destroy your marriage. He can destroy your chances of getting prayer answered. And he can destroy you. Praise God. So if you take these 10 principles that, on how to issue divorce a crushing defeat, I guarantee you, from my own experience, that God will bless your marriage.
Amen.
And you won't ever, ever think about divorce. Divorce, love and the covenant, true love, true godly love, true covenant love, truly putting God first in your marriage, never will find itself in a divorce court. Praise God.
Amen.
Stand to your feet.